think that's my cue. I'm not sure. I'm Jim Bushfield. My title is Director of Connectional Ministries for the Indiana Conference, and that tells you nothing. So we'll leave it that way for a little bit. But I will get that to that a little bit about one, why I'm here. Debbie and I come to church here. You don't see us all the time because a lot of Sundays I go other places because I have other responsibilities. As a director of Connectional Ministries, or as a director, conference director, well, let me do a United Methodism 101 for everybody. It's a refresher for some of you. Some of you, this may be news, but this church is part of churches all across the state. We meet together in annual conference session. That's one of my jobs, is to arrange that annual meeting. We're about between 2,000 and 3,000 people come together every year to provide the vision, to work on uniting us in our vision and our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That is the mission of the United Methodist Church. That's the mission of the annual conference, and we hope that's the mission of every church because it comes right out of Scripture. There are 10 districts in Indiana, and there are district superintendents, and a district superintendent oversees, provides pastoral oversight to the pastors and to the leadership of a congregation. Your district superintendent is Bert Kite in the central district of the Indiana Conference. And so Bert is one of 10 superintendents, and they get together and do their work on a regular basis. And then there are 5 conference directors. The financial treasurers, or financial person of the office, administration. There is a director for church development, and that's one of the, I don't know who on the church development team, Steve Klaus is the director, but there is a church development staff person that's been working with you through this launch to become a new separate entity, not just a part of another congregation. It's going very, very well. You guys are great. Matt is great. Matt is incredible. That's the work Steve does. Elise Fulbright works in the area of leadership development, works with our Board of Ordained Ministry. And for those persons going through process and being commissioned and credentialed and ordained. And then there's the Director of Connectional Ministry, and I work with everything else. And that is awesome, I've got to tell you. We're actually calling it, we work with discipleship. Our mission is to make disciples for the transformation of the world, and I get to work with the people who work with discipleship. Sorry. Am I doing that? Discipleship issues and with transformation. And I'll come back to that a little bit because that really is where all of this is going eventually. So it is exciting. The main thing I want you to know today is that you are a part of something incredible. The first most incredible thing you are a part of is this very church. And the launch that you have as a new congregation, I think we're on target, Ron, I'm looking at Ron, to charter at annual conference. That's phenomenal. I mean, that's like the birth of a new church. And I know there's a lot of history here. You know, that some of you come from Castleton to help do this. Some of you are brand new here. Some of you know nothing about Methodism. That's not what's critical. What's critical is we are a community of faith planted in a community with great opportunity to share the joy of Jesus Christ and the promise and the hope that he provides for those who many times are hopeless. I have a scripture. Oh, spring catalogs. Cool. How did that get up there? That's fantastic. Well, that's the sermon title, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I thought I'd better start with Scripture. If I don't start with Scripture, then there's really no point me saying anything today. And the Scripture is this out of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Now go to the next slide, or that slide. Okay. I've got to tell you a secret about preachers, or at least about me. I don't know how Matt works, but whenever you have to preach, and I don't preach every week, so I don't know how Matt does it, frankly, but whenever you have to preach, you know, the first thing is like, oh, what am I going to say? what scripture am I going to use? You know, start with scripture. We've learned that well in seminary, but then you got to kind of fill in the rest of it. I could just stand here and read scripture. Well, I believe God provides. And just about the time Matt asked me to do the sermon, I got this in the mail. Now, I got to know, how many of you are gardeners? Okay, good, good. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Okay, I'm going to preach to this group over here. I'm going to preach to the gardeners in a minute. How many of you have heard of Burpee Catalog? The gardeners and a few others. Okay. Okay. Burpee comes. They have amazing marketing because like January 2nd or the first day mail is delivered after Christmas, this is in the mail. This is amazing. You see some of the pictures up here. You know, it is for a gardener. It is like the wish book. It is like the Neiman Marcus catalog of Christmas. Yeah? See, I have a witness over there. Look at the sweet corn. I mean, who wouldn't want to grow that? Well, I don't. I go to Dad's sweet corn, but that's all right. You know, just look. Did you have any idea there were so many types of tomatoes? Do you care? No. Some of us care. And it's incredible. And then there are flowers. There's all these flowers in here that you can put in your garden. I mean, it's like I've spent hours thumbing page by page over this catalog. And I won't buy anything out of here, I've got to tell you. I have three containers for tomatoes. They're 10-gallon tubs, and I do patio, you know, great. Here's what happens in the Burpee catalog. They get you hooked, and you go through. And then you get back here, and it's like tools. Chemicals, fertilizers, seed systems. Do you know you can spend thousands of dollars just getting your seeds started? I don't do that, but I do this. I did this. I got to tell you, you got to do gardening because you love gardening. You don't do it because you save money. I did a rough calculation the other day, and I think our tomatoes this year cost us somewhere close to $25 a pound. But they were fresh, and we picked them ourselves. Now, there is a point to this. The scripture said the fruit of the Spirit, where did I leave my Bible? This is my tribute to Matt. I usually carry a old-fashioned book and pages and stuff, but I thought, no, you guys, you know, I gotta look young here and so. When the scripture in Galatians where it comes, it doesn't just stop there. Now, this is a request that I'm going to make as a preacher today, as your preacher today. And I do this everywhere I preach and every time I preach. And that is to encourage you, when you go home, read this for yourself. I mean, it's good to hear it. It's good to see it here. You know, it will sink in. But it's only a tiny bit of the story. Here's what happens after this verse. And it's not on slides. I'm just going to read to you. On verse 25, you know, the writer of Galatians, Paul, simply says, if we live by the Spirit, let's follow the Spirit. They've done the context, all right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, all those things. So that is what comes out of our life if we live with the Spirit. But then go to the next page, because there's another in chapter 6, verse 7. There's a warning. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. Now, the analogy out of all of this is that the garden and the metaphor of the garden is really talking about the fruitfulness of our life, what comes out of our life, what the byproducts of our life become. And if we walk with the Spirit, if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, then we have resources that can help us have that fruitful life. The same book of the Bible will tell you the opposite is also true, that if you invest yourself in things that are destructive, in destructive behaviors and destructive relationships and destructive attitudes, then pretty much what is produced out of your life are things that will be destructive to you or to those around you. We have a word for that in the church. It's called sin. And we know the damage of sin. We've all felt it. We've all experienced it. We may have even committed it. And I believe the reason we're here is because we know there is a better way. And we know there is a God who can help us in that better way. And he has done that, providing his son to us as not only an example, but as a sacrifice, so that our sins are off the table. We get a fresh start. Just like every spring, we get to start the garden all over again. So really, this passage is about discipleship. And that's where I want to go next. I know you can't see this. This is way too tiny. This is just a model. There are handouts of this back in the back. Ron's going to help have those available. And there's a sheet for everybody if you want to take one. And it's simply called a discipleship pathway. It's a matrix that was developed by the annual conference, working in conjunction with some of the people, the real experts. I've had so much fun working with the team putting this together, because I've met people from across the country who live, breathe, eat, live this concept. And that is that we as followers of Jesus Christ are on a pathway. We're on a pilgrimage. And we start over here, and in this first category is called searching. John Wesley taught us, and his teaching is well-grounded in Scripture, and it's kind of what makes us Methodists. He taught us that God is approaching us and working with us long before we ever begin even thinking about God as a part of our life. It's called prevenient grace. God is already reaching out to us, to every individual. That's a theological distinction that if you study religion, you'll see the difference from different teachers and different denominations will approach this slightly differently. But the first good news is God is already standing there with his arms wide open, welcoming us in. And we have things that happen in our lives that nudge us, that help us feel that presence, help us become aware. And this side of the matrix talks about the things in our life that are revealing of God's grace. How we worship God, how we express worship, how we extend community or expand community, how we share with one another. Giving. Extravagant generosity. How is that a part? Non-Christians give. I've got to remind you of this. You know, giving in and of itself isn't a Christian act. But in Christ, it takes on a different dimension. Faith development. You know, it's like that. That's where the garden analogy works. You know, you can have the stuff, you can water it, you can fertilize it, you can work on it, and it will produce better fruit. Or you can ignore it, and it probably won't. So it is with our lives. We can do things that will help us grow in Christ. Or we can live every day about the same and not read the Scriptures, not spend time in prayer, and maybe not grow to the same extent we could. Risk-taking mission and service, that's the real joy. That is the thing that makes it real. You know, we can read it in Scripture, but there's nothing like going out in service, going out to help someone, going out to change the world, to realize the power that God has in Christ through us to make a difference. And here's where I want to go back and talk about me. It's all about me. No, it's not. It's all about Jesus. But what I get to do is to see this in a way that very few people get to see it. Here are the groups that I work with. I work with our church camps. Indiana has 7 church camps. We have over 3,000 kids in camp during the, you know, church camp season gets smaller and smaller because of school schedules. But during our 8 weeks of camp, we had over 3,000 kids in camp. And 10% of those kids, or almost 300 of those kids, made a commitment to Jesus Christ to be a disciple of Jesus because they had that opportunity. Now, we do camps, and the rest of the year we do discipleship programs, small group stuff, and retreat facilities. These camps are all across Indiana. That's exciting to see that happen. And the pictures from camps, they got all the cool toys. I mean, I wish I were a kid, go back to camp. I work with missions. Indiana is developing and working with a new momentum that's developing around the world, and it's called 50-50 Mission Partnership. You know, mission used to be, oh, I'll throw some money in the plate and we'll send money somewhere and something good will happen. That is good, but it doesn't necessarily help us and it doesn't help them. 50-50 partnership is having a relationship from one congregation with another congregation. The one I experienced recently was a congregation in Bloomington, Indiana, that is in partnership with a church in one of the former Soviet countries. And they have Bible study together every month, and they worship together every month by way of Skype or some other technology. 7 o'clock at night, this church is sitting, you know, here in the United States, and that group comes at, you know, like 8 in the morning to do their Bible study, and they share together. And I gotta tell you, we think Christianity is challenging here. Try to be a Christian in a country where it has been illegal for years. I get to work with Allison Kurtz and Transformational Ministries and Advocacy. So I know the groups that are out there. We've got a group that works in prison and jail ministry all across the state. I experienced a prison ministry in Ohio 3 months ago. It's the scariest place in the world for me to be in a prison. But there are Christians in prison, and there are clergy in prison trying to minister to those who are Christians. You know, that's not a thing a local church can do by itself. But because we work together with 1,100 churches and almost 200,000 United Methodists across the state of Indiana, the world is being changed. And I've got to tell you about Hannah Faust. One of the people I work with is Helene Faust. She is one of the national experts on youth and children ministry and family ministry. I really don't, I say that to brag on her, but the impact is incredible. But her daughter, Hannah Faust, you know, when you don't, parents, you don't often realize what rubs off from you to your kids. But Hannah was with her mom one day at a church up in South Bend, Indiana, and heard about a group that was building wells in, I always get it wrong, it's a country I don't know, Burkina Faso. Anybody know Burkina Faso? Okay, good. It is an inland African country over on the western coast of Africa, it's isolated, it half the year is in drought. The death rate for children under 5 is just beyond belief. There is not clean water. People walk for literally miles to find water, and then it's not sanitary water. Hannah found out that for $2,000 you can build a well that will serve up to 1,000 people in a rural community. And she said, "Why aren't we doing that?" So she started raking leaves, and she started babysitting, and she started trying to, and people would ask her, "Well, what are you doing with the money?" She said, "I'm going to build a well in Africa." This child is a sixth grader. She has built, I think now, 5 wells in Africa. Wow. It can be done. We can change the world. I could go on. I get to work with the disaster response. United Methodist, one of the things we do outstandingly well is disaster response. It doesn't make the newspaper. Red Cross makes the news. It's secular. The religious teams don't often make the news, but I got to tell you that we are often at the heart of the response teams. And we have a training program for disaster response people that allows us to go in. You know, you can't just walk into a disaster. You have to come in prepared. And they don't want you in the way if you don't know what you're doing. We are one of the first teams to go, and United Methodists are one of the last teams to leave a disaster response site. We're still in Louisiana and in New Orleans from Katrina because it's not rebuilt yet. Anyway, I'm leaving a whole bunch of stuff off my list, but that's what I do. I connect these people who are passionate about outreach, ministry, transformation. And I try to connect them to people like you who are passionate but have no idea these opportunities exist. And we create through that fruit. Blessings upon blessings that last for generations to come. So anyway, pick up the matrix. It's a fun thing to look at. When I looked at this, I realized that in some ways I'm over here at times. I'm over here. I'm down here. I'm down. You know, I want to be this mature Christian who leads others to Christ, who helps lead others and develop other leaders, who's extravagantly generous. But, you know, that's my growing point. You know, I'm not perfect. None of us are. And you know what? God loves you just the way you are. And he knows all that you can be. Let's pray. God, how awesome you are. How amazing it is that we're even here. That somehow along the way you got through to us. You helped us learn. You helped us know. You helped us feel your presence in some way. So God, we simply ask, help us to be the disciples that you want us to be. We love you. We want to follow Jesus and be like him as much as we can. But most of all, God, we want to do it for you because we know this world is not the way you created it to be. It can be so much better. And we are the ones who can help make that happen. Thank you, God. Amen.